I was thinking about that song that we were singing, and about surrendering. You know, in times past, when you surrendered, you were taken captive. Are we prepared to be taken captive this morning? Are we prepared to be taken captive by the Lord as we surrender to Him? Because we all sang that this morning. I don't think any one of us sat back and said, well, I'm not singing that song because I'm not prepared to surrender. But that is actually what we are saying that we will do. We will be taken captive by the Lord. And that basically fits in this morning with what I'm going to say. Are you stuck in the first grade? Are you still in grade one? There are quite a few teachers amongst us over here. And they will all tell you that nobody wants to stop at grade one. Well, maybe there are some children that want to, but that's not the ideal situation. We don't want to do that. A PhD candidate at the University of Southern California was very eager to be called doctor until one newly degreed professor told him this story. And he said, this friend told him that he was at home one day just after having received his PhD, and the telephone rang, which was answered by his 10-year-old son. And on the phone was a friend of this doctor. And the friend said to the young boy that answered the phone, is the doctor in? And the little boy said, yes, but he's not the kind of doctor that will do you any good. Now, I know exactly what that means, because recently when I was in hospital, they knew that I had a doctorate, but nobody knew in what. So they were treading very lightly around me, and I kept it like that because they thought I was a medical doctor, so they didn't want to mess up. Until one night, one of the nurses came to me and told me she wasn't feeling well. So I said, well, I am a doctor, but not one that can do you any good. So credentials are important. So when we see the letters PhD, MD, DDS, and all these other titles, and those bearing these initials, we know that they're valuable individuals. They're valuable as individuals, and they're sometimes valuable to society at large. These credentials indicate that somebody in authority or some organization place their stamp of approval on this person. Now, I read a story about Albert Einstein. He was at a dinner party, and seated next to him was a young college student. And during the course of the evening, this young student, who had absolutely no idea who Albert Einstein was, said to him, and what do you actually do by profession? Which Albert Einstein replied, I devote myself to the study of physics. And the young man was very surprised, and he said, at your age? I finished studying a year ago. So you see, the first thing, it's very necessary for us to educate children. But to educate a child or to educate anybody, they need to have a teachable attitude. As I said, there are many teachers amongst us. And if you are in a classroom situation, you very quickly become aware of those who do not have a teachable spirit, or whether their lights are just not on. There's nothing happening over there. They won't listen. They won't hear, they won't learn. It doesn't matter what you do, no matter what you say, they're never going to put into practice that which you are teaching. And there's a story of a New York businessman who decided that the rat race was just too much. So he decided to buy a plot of land in the country and do some farming. So he went to the local feed store, spoke to the proprietor of the feed store and said he wanted to buy 100 chicks. So the proprietor said, 100 chicks, that's quite a lot. And the man said, well, yes, you know, I mean business. A week later, the man returned and wanted to buy another 100 chicks. Boy, said the proprietor, you really do mean business. To which the man replied, well, you know, when I've ironed out a few problems, it will be all good. So the man said, well, why? What happened? He said, well, I think I may have planted them too close together. See, according to the dictionary, the word ignorant means unaware or uninformed. And the Word of God tells us that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. In Isaiah 28, verses 9 to 16. Now, most people reading through the scripture find it rather unusual and difficult to understand. Because it says this, who is he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from their milk? To those just taken from the breast? For it is do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that. A little here, a little there. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people to whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest. And this is the resting place, let the people rest. And this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. So then, the word of the Lord to them will become, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that. A little here, a little there, so that as they go, they will fall backward. They will be injured and snared and captured. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, who rule this people in Jerusalem. You boast, we have entered into the covenant with death. With the realm of the dead, we have made an agreement. With an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us. For we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. So this is what the foreign lord, the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Now, all of you are probably sitting there thinking, well, poof, that made as much sense as mud. You see, the nation of Israel, it seems, are always in trouble. They always were, and they still are. In fact, the destiny of every nation on the face of the earth, including this nation, hinges on what happens in Israel. The coming to the end of this particular church age will usher in a period known as Jacob's trouble, or the tribulation, as most of us know it by, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that hinges on what takes place in Israel. But as we read through this passage in Isaiah, we see that Isaiah is addressing this to the leaders of Israel. And these leaders of Israel only sought self-gratification. They indulged in strong wine and strong liquor, and they became intoxicated. They weren't only intoxicated with alcohol, they were intoxicated with their own importance. They were intoxicated with wealth. They were intoxicated with the world. They were intoxicated by their high position. And in Isaiah 28, 7 and 8, it says to this, and those also stagger from wine and reel from beer. Priests and prophets stagger from beer and are befuddled with wine. They reel from beer. They stagger when seeing visions. They stumble when rendering decisions. All the tables are covered with vomit, and there is not a spot without filth. But we see in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, it begins with this question. As God is asking through Isaiah, whom shall he teach? Who shall he teach knowledge? Who shall he make to understand the doctrine? You see, God could not teach people who were intoxicated with wine. He could not teach people that were intoxicated with their own power. He could not teach people that were intoxicated with their own positions. They refused to hear the voice of the Lord. They were leaders, all right, but they were leading Israel deeper and deeper into sin. They were not teachable. They refused to hear the word of the Lord. They were leading Israel to destruction, even though God had set a plan of deliverance in place. These leaders were drunk with the world around them. Their hearts were hardened and their minds were numbed. So they became ignorant and foolish. How can God teach those who will not hear? How can God teach those who have not experienced anything themselves? How can those people teach others that which they have not experienced themselves? There are many preachers today, and I know this as a fact, because I was at a meeting a few weeks ago with several deans of several Bible colleges from all over the country, and they all had the same thing to say. Nobody wants to study the Word of God. Everybody wants to go into ministry, but nobody wants to study the Word. How can you teach the Word of God if you have not learnt the Word of God? How can you tell people about the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you have not experienced it for yourself? How can we teach if we have not been taught? God says that he may as well use them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, God is saying, well, I might as well just use toddlers. I might as well use children, because nobody's paying any attention anyway. This is a very bad impression for the church. What God is saying about Israel in this passage, he's saying about the church today. Those Christians whose lives don't seem to be affected by the preaching they hear week after week. The word goes forth, and they go forth. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will speak to this people. God has done all that he possibly can to simplify his word, simplify it for us to understand, for us to bring it into the church, for us to grow spiritually, not for us to remain toddlers, not for us to remain in the first grade. You know, as a baby, babies are pretty stupid. You know, my daughter-in-law always says, it's a blank sheet, a sheet. You know, there's nothing in their heads. You've got to put everything in there. When they're born, they can't even drink a bottle without swallowing winds. You've even got to take the winds out. But then they progress from there, and they can drink a bottle without having to be winded. And eventually, they grow from there and they have a little bit of solid food. Until one day they are fully fledged South Africans eating boerewors. But very many of us remain in the first grade spiritually. Those toddlers that only have milk. We never progress onto boerewors. We stay at that first step where God teaches us those first precepts, those first lines, when he tells us we are all sinners. He says, you must not lie, you must not kill, you must not steal, don't covet your neighbor's wife, or his donkey, or his merc. And on it goes. Until we realize we actually need a savior. But he doesn't leave it there. He takes it a step further and says, I have made a plan for you. I won't leave you there. I understand you realize that you are in sin. But it's not going to remain there. I have a plan. And that plan is written in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that we, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But when we've got those precepts, those lines, we have just laid the foundation. We're still in the first grade. We're still at the beginning. We need to go further. We need to go deeper. We cannot stop there. We cannot not grow. Imagine as an adult, if you were still drinking milk, you wouldn't become an adult. You would die. Because we cannot remain drinking milk for the rest of our lives. There are still many that are still on a liquid diet, but it's not milk in their bottles. He wants us to go further. He wants us to continue. He wants us to grow in grace. He wants us to grow deeper in knowledge. Line upon line, repeating that message over and over. Just as we start with children, we keep repeating everything. From a baby, you keep telling them, look at that, darling, it's red. And if they say, no, it's blue, you say, no, it's not. Until they understand. You can't teach first graders trigonometry. In fact, you can't teach me trigonometry. Don't try. I promise you, you're not going to get very far. You can't teach people the deeper things of God unless they are progressing spiritually. Those who listen and begin to learn will grow deeper. Those that have mastered the basic teaching will learn more. We all love to hear about God's grace and mercy, but there's much more to God than just his grace and his mercy. We need to get into the deeper things. We need to move on from the first grade. We need to learn about living in victory. We need to learn about how to walk in God's will. We need to learn about being faithful, to be spiritually discerning. We need to learn about how to wage spiritual warfare. We need to build upon the basics. And God spoke this word through Isaiah, that the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line. But you see, what happened in Israel was the people began to mock Isaiah. They began to mock the prophets that brought these teachings because they said, well, you know, we don't need that. We are locked into God. We hear God's voice. We are the men of God. We are the chosen frozen. And that's exactly what they were, chosen and frozen. They ignored the warnings. They thought little of the simple message that the prophets were bringing. Their failure to learn the basics and heed the basic teachings set them up for falling away from God, for falling back into sin. And too often people stop growing in the first grade. They're destined to stay in the first grade, spiritually speaking. Sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent. It reminds me of a story I once heard, where every time there was an altar call, this one dear old lady would come up and give her heart to the Lord. And then she decided she needed to be baptized. And as the pastor was baptizing her, he put her under the water and said, "Lord, take her now while she's saved." People like that are just little children. It's hard to wean them from the bottle. And they refuse to eat regular food. Because it's comfortable to be a newborn babe. We all want to be babies. We look at the babies there at the back of the church, the one that Erica's jiggling there at the back, and we think, "Phew, what a life. Wouldn't that be marvelous?" But we don't want to study the word because we might have to meditate. We might have to think. And sometimes that's not one of our best traits. We don't want to hear anyone teaching anything too deep because we might have to chew on the message. And we don't like chewing. We just like swallowing. And if we can just swallow, we could swallow anything. And that's what's happening in the world today. You can turn on TBN and there are some very good things on there, but sometimes there are not. And unfortunately, people are swallowing it because they haven't learned to chew. They have not learned to study the word. They have refused to learn. They refuse to learn faithfulness, commitment, and dedication. They're convinced that none of these things are that necessary to be obedient and to reach heaven. They're convinced that they still can live in this world and claim to be Christians. We can still do the things of the world, and we can still say we are Christians. They're convinced that they don't have to be faithful to church and still be strong. They're convinced of their own self-righteousness is enough, and that is precisely what Isaiah was saying to these leaders in Israel. They were thinking that their self-righteousness was all that they needed. They were convinced that their own good works was all that was necessary. They believed that they were going to make heaven their home because they knew the basics and they refused to move on. We cannot remain stuck in the first grade. We won't allow children to remain in the first grade. We cannot keep doing the first grade over and over again. We won't let our children do that. If our children keep failing first grade and keep having to repeat it, we will seek professional advice to find out why this is happening. But somehow, within the church, we don't do that. We don't ask people, why is it? What is the problem? Why are you not moving on? Why are you not moving forward? In Isaiah 28, verses 16 to 18, it says, "Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation that he that believes shall not make haste. Judgment also I will lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. God's love for Israel was boundless, and it still is. It still stands today. And so it is with us. He still loves us unconditionally. His mercy and his grace still stands. He won't give up on us. Why do we give up on him? He sent his only begotten Son. He sent everything. He gave absolutely everything. Why can't we give more? Jesus is that sure foundation, that stone that lived without sin and died for your sin and for my sin, that precious cornerstone. There's always a way of deliverance. Jesus will always make a way of escape. But if we do not grow, we will be measured according to what was put before us and we refused to partake of. Self-righteousness won't measure up. Good works are not good enough. Just learning the basics and then playing around in the world doesn't measure up. We need to grow. We need to do all that we possibly can to measure up to God's word and to learn as much as we possibly can. Our lives must produce fruit. Works of righteousness and a life that is fully committed to Jesus are the requirements. It's not a suggestion. We can either remain stuck in a spiritual first grade and face judgment from a righteous, holy God and his wrath and disobedience because we fail to grow, because it's a commandment. It's a requirement, not a suggestion. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman, tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, crediting accordingly, handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. We can only skillfully teach the word of truth if we have studied the word. 2 Peter 3 verse 18, and this is a scripture that I use in the Bible school. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you want to remain in the first grade? We're very fortunate in this country. We have everything made available to us. We're very fortunate in this church because we have a Bible college right here. Many times it's been said to me over the years that most of the people in this church have gone through Bible school. But there are many that I know for a fact who have not. And I will tell you a little story about myself and David. We went through Bible school twice. We went to Bible school in 1980. When we had Hebron Bible College here in Krugersdorp. We went full time. And then we went back into the work situation and the Bible school closed because of lack of funds. And everything in the Bible school was shipped back to America. However, in between it leaving South Africa and wherever it was supposed to go, the information regarding the students got lost. So by the time David and I wanted to study further, we did not have a transcript and there was not one available. So for us to study further, we actually had to do our entire Bible school studies all over again, just for a piece of paper, in order for us to be able to do a master's degree and then a doctorate. The Word of God requires us to study His Word. We have no excuse. We have everything available. There are countries around the world that don't have this available. And I'm asking you today that we should take that which has been handed to us in this country, make use of it. Those of you who have been through Bible school, there are some that cannot afford to go through Bible school. Perhaps you can sponsor them. There are many people that would love to study the Word of God but don't have the finances to do so. We should, as a church, stand behind them. All of the things that are presented in this church at the moment require ministry of some kind. We cannot do that ministry unless we have been taught. It is available to us. Please stand with me. Father God, I thank and praise you for these people. And I pray your Spirit upon each person in this place today. That Holy Spirit, as they are standing here today, I pray, Lord God, that they will avail themselves to be taught of you. And Father God, we give you praise and glory in this place today. For you are our ultimate teacher. And we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Shirley, for a timely word. It's always very important.